Welcome to Burning River Radio, basketball edition. I'm your host, Ben Buckets Belden, and I'm here with my co-host, Danny Cunningham.
Hey.
And the Cavs suck. Shit, they're
bad. Cavs are nine.
They're absolutely terrible.
Is that a thing? Cavs are nine?
Cavs are nine. I've always said that... you know, it seemed like it was kind of a best of five series, maybe, or best of three. This was a best of three series because they played 3 years in a row. Maybe they need to do a best of five now. And then the question is, if they do a best of seven, like seven straight finals, can they come back from being down
2-1?
3-1.
3-1. Let's debate.
Obviously, we're just fucking with you. This is Joe Koblitz from Burning River Baseball, and I'm here with Justin Latta.
Hey.
A whole lot of love. When I do a whole lot of love, you go,
eh. No. I have bought one called A Whole Lot of Baseball. It didn't work out very well.
Let's hear more about that. Anyway, the Indians play the Dodgers today. And about the game, we're going to talk mostly about the draft in today's show. But I'll say the best point of this game was the fact that the best left-handed starting pitcher in baseball was pitching in a game as the best left-handed relief pitcher in Major League Baseball today, and they both gave up home runs.
Can't predict ball.
I think it's shoot your shot. That's what they say.
It was a Twitter account literally called Can't Predict Ball.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything. I did think it was funny. One guy was tweeting at me, why did Miller pitch? He pitched an inning and a third, and then he came in to pitch another inning. Why did he come in to pitch that other inning? Don't the Indians have any other lefties? Or, well, the first thing was, why did he pitch instead of Sean? I was like, well, they had two lefties coming up. And that was the first one hit a home run, the second one hit a single, and was out at second trying to advance. You've got Miller in already. It would seem really stupid to take Miller out to bring in Shaw, or to take Miller out to bring in Logan. So you just leave in Miller, who'd thrown less than 20 pitches anyway. So it wasn't like he was in forever. But my point is, if every left-handed pitcher got out every left-handed batter every time, and every right-handed pitcher got out every right-handed batter every time, there wouldn't be a sport.
It would just be all lefties.
It wouldn't be fun.
All left-handed pitchers.
Yeah. Well, no, you just match up every time, and there would be no runs scored. It would just be outs constantly. Like, I can't remember what book I read. I've read so many books. I'm sure I did it for Burning River Book Club. I can't remember which book it was, but one of the books said there's never been a pitcher who could throw 100 miles an hour consistently and have great control. And it's a really, really good thing there hasn't been, because if there was, he would never allow any hits ever. But if there were regularly pitchers who could throw 100 miles an hour and have impeccable control, baseball, you wouldn't be able – you'd have to move the mound back or something. You would have to physically change the sport, because that would end it. And that's kind of the same with Miller and Kershaw. If every time they faced a batter, they struck him out, it would really take a lot away from the sport. So enjoy the fact that Roberto Perez, who's having a terrible, awful season. I mean, last year, he had one of the worst seasons in Indians history, and he's been worse this year. So enjoy the fact that he hit a home run off the best pitcher in two decades.
Hey, Perez has 11 hits this year, I think, and seven of them have driven in a run. So when he gets hits, they matter.
Now okay. Okay, Jensen.
Oh, no. You want to be Jensen, I'll give you the –
You're Jensen now.
The home run was the third hardest hit ball Kershaw has ever allowed.
What, in StatCast? That's like the last 3 years?
Yeah, last 3 years. It's the hardest hit ball he's allowed in the StatCast era.
It was an impressive hit. It definitely – and they showed the home run from the World Series, and it definitely reminded me of that. Just ripping the thing over the bleachers.
Take that for your Jensen Lewis crack.
Yeah, I don't like it. Anyway, I should have gotten this up before. Let's move on to the draft. Do you have it right in front of you, or do I have to get it up here?
Today's draft? Or this
the whole year? Thing. We haven't talked about any of the Indian stuff. I just want to talk about the Indians. I want to talk about... And now...
You lost it.
Yeah, I got it in a second.
I have Indians draft up now.
You have it up now. I have the history of drafts up, but I didn't bring up today's for some reason.
Not a pretty history.
yeah, and that's the fun thing. Why is this not, okay, the first one, Hunter. His name is Hunter. Hunter Green went to Cincinnati instead of Minnesota. And that made me incredibly happy. First thing that I don't know how well MLB ranks their prospects. It's got to be impossible to rank prospects that aren't even drafted yet. You're comparing high school players to college players and junior college players and just all this other. Some of them have played in, you know, some of them play all year round. Some of them play a couple months out of the year. You have no clue what to expect out of most of these guys. So I don't know how good the rankings are, but Hunter Green's been ranked number one by pretty much everyone I've seen in the past year. I've been hearing a ton about him.
When you're a high school kid, throwing 102 miles an hour, and you play shortstop and can hit.
Yeah, so I did not want him going to the Twins. I did want him going to the Reds because I get to see the Reds a lot. I like the Reds. I root for the Reds when they're not playing the Indians. And I'd love to see them use him as a pitcher. I think what was the consensus that they were going to use him as a hitter, right? That whoever drafted him would essentially play him as a position player.
I think the first option was a hitter, yeah.
But I would love to see, because he's on a National League team, pitch him one day a week, hit him the other 4 days, like, or one time through the rotation, and then play him in the field the other 4 days. I think that'd be so fantastic. We haven't seen anything like that ever. Because once Babe Ruth started hitting home runs, they moved him to right field. They didn't pitch him anymore.
I don't think he'll ever see it. I don't think he'll ever see it in our lifetime.
But you certainly weren't going to see it with the Twins.
No, you're not going to see it with the Twins. But here's why you're not going to see it, because so many teams right now are valuing guys with rest. That's the biggest thing with medicals now and preserving guys throughout the year. Everybody's going to be getting days off. Like, nobody really plays 162 games anymore. You really think an organization's going to have a guy who throws 100 miles an hour, or, you know, it's going to throw in the mid-90s consistently, pitch one day and play shortstop?
Think about – okay, but he doesn't have to. You've got years before he's going to be in the majors. Move him to first base or second base or something like that where he doesn't have to throw very far. And he doesn't have to – how many times does a second baseman throw a ball during a game? Five? I mean, actually really trying to get it out?
Yeah.
Second baseman don't throw the ball that much. It's very rare. First baseman almost never do, although they're going to have Votto there forever.
Well, to be fair, it doesn't sound like he's going to stay at shortstop anyway. Might be a little bit too big. So I guess you could move him to first. You might waste some athleticism.
Yeah, move him. But the point would be you'd be having the bat and you'd be pitching him. You'd be saving him so he could pitch every 5 days. That's all I want to see, is a pitcher who can rake, as they say.
Anyway, back to the... So far. Micah Owings.
Bumgarner this year, Micah Owings before... Michael but there was Lorenzen. One... okay, no, for the Cardinals, he was an outfielder.
Oh, Rick Ankiel? Oh, boy.
Rick Ankiel. See, you're killing me. My brain's completely fried.
That's because he lost his mind, or he had to go through some shit on the mound, so...
Rick Ankiel once hit a mascot with a pitch. It was on the duck. I might be making that up, but it might be true. The Indians' second round, so it doesn't really matter because you're not listening to this anyway. or not listening to this today, at least. was Quinton Holmes.
First round. Oh, yeah, second round pick.
And of the guys, it was a first pick, but it was their second round pick. Quinton Holmes, outfielder, high schooler. Second pick was also a high schooler. Third pick was a high schooler. Every other pick was a college player. I think there's definitely some strategy there.
That's an interesting mix. They went for projection early and then try to go a little bit safe later.
Yeah, but to start off, I think we should talk about Holmes specifically, in that he's a, I would say a glove, or, well, he's a foot first, I guess, legs first. He's the fastest player in the draft, and we just have to assume at this point that that's going to translate into becoming a great defender in the outfield. And he's a line drive hitter, singles hitter, something like that. He doesn't hit for power.
They're hoping he's Billy Hamilton with a better bat, yeah.
Yeah, and everything I'm reading there, I'm like, okay, this is Gabriel Mejia. This is Greg Allen. We've got six of these guys. Even Junior Soto is a leg first. I mean, he has some power, but he's definitely a speedy center fielder type. I mean, almost every I call Louis Isaacs. I'm living in the 90s still. Todd Isaacs from the Bahamas is exactly the same thing. It's so many guys. Jose Nelson last year, they drafted him in 2016. He barely played last year, but I liked him every single time I saw him play. I like him defensively. I like him on the bases.
Todd Isaacs?
Similar players. They're all very fast. Yeah, yeah. Isaacs, Mejia, Allen, Bradley Zimmer, Tyler Naquin.
Isaacs has some sneaky power too, man.
Yeah, he's starting to hit better now. And I think even go back further, Grady Sizemore was the same thing. When they got him, he was not a power hitter. He was a speedy center fielder. And they're like, well, maybe he'll develop some power down the line. And he did. So I think that's what they're thinking with Holmes.
They're looking for Holmes to develop power, but I think they're hoping he just hits.
Well, that's what
280.
That's what the MLB guys said. The MLB guys are idiots. But that's what they were saying, essentially. But I think what they're doing, essentially, is just taking a bunch of chances on a profile that they like, which is the speedy, glove-first outfielder who can hit line drives. Because Mejia is that, too. If you watch Mejia, Gabriel Mejia, hit, he's a line drive hitter. That's what he does. He hits some, you know, he's not hitting ground balls. He's hitting line drives for the most part, unless he's bunting. And I think they're taking that profile, and they're saying one of these guys is going to be our center fielder. They're not saying this guy. It's not like when they drafted Lindor. When they drafted Lindor, we all knew he was the shortstop of the future.
Right.
There's been very few draft picks like that, except Bo Mills. Bo Mills, we knew he was the first baseman of the future. Very few guys like that.
And there were so many first basemen in this draft, too, by the way. Ugh.
Well, see, you know, you probably know more about the depth of the draft than I do. I researched all of the Indians' picks so far. They've made 10 to this point. They'll make 30 more tomorrow.
Long day.
But, you know, I've researched all the ones that they did today. I did the draft before it happens because that's just too much. I mean, think about it. The Indians' last pick was 312 in the draft, the 10th round. It was a 312th pick. I'm not researching 312 people. That's too many. I'll research 10. Not doing 312.
I think the other pick to talk about, I know we're focusing on Holmes and that profile, but I think the other notable pick to talk about is probably the third round pick, Jonathan Rodriguez, who it sounds like he's kind of a boom or bust pick, but he's a switch hitter who some people thought he might have the best bat in the entire class. If everything worked out,
of course.
There was a couple guys that said he might not make the AA, so it's high risk, high reward. But it sounds like there's a lot of potential in his bat. Big kid, 6'3", 180.
I know almost nothing about him. I have another guy that I like just after looking at stats. My only thing about Jonathan Rodriguez is now the Indians have Yan Rodriguez, Yorma Rodriguez, and Jason Rodriguez. So
who could all be in Arizona Summer League in a week?
Yorma's in A-ball, right? He's in Lake County.
He could be sent back any day. I like he's playing well.
Jason is slated to start the season in Mahoning Valley. But Jonathan could start the season in Mahoning Valley, too. And Yan was on the DSL roster, but I physically saw him in Arizona after he was already on the DSL roster. So he's not in the Dominican. He's definitely still in Arizona. So he could be either on AZL or Mahoning Valley. And they're going to have to go beyond just J.O. on these jerseys. It's going to be more than J.O. Rodriguez. That's not going to work anymore. You got to have you're going to have the entire first and last name, I think. It's like
not to be a clubby.
Yeah, I mean, Nelly is easy. You just put N Rodriguez. We got Nelly.
All these Rodriguezes, I don't know.
It is. I like the Mejias better personally, but
are they up to three now in the organization?
Oh, well, there's Gabriel, Giancarlo, Francisco, and then there's a coach of the DSL, which I had originally said I didn't have a picture of, but I found a picture of the other day because he was a third base coach during some game. So if somebody needs a picture of that Mejia as well, I do have that. I had posted a tweet a month ago probably of the three Mejias, and then so I had a picture of all of them when they were in the AZL, and then the picture of Gabriel. I found a picture of a cheetah, and
that works.
It was a nice joke. Anyway, you've got Jonathan Rodriguez. The one that I was really interested in stats wise is Eli Morgan, who they picked in the eighth round. He's a right-hander from Gonzaga, and he strikes out everybody. And that's just what I get excited about. I like strikeouts. I watched Kirk McCarty. They didn't pick a pitcher until the seventh round, which is pretty awesome for them. Yeah, it's late in the draft. And to me, it says they're pretty happy with their pitching, and I think they should be.
Yeah, we can talk about that for sure. Their pitching has been interesting.
They've got a ton of guys who pan out to be major league quality at some point or another, even if they're just like we've been talking about Ryan Merritt a little bit. I think I saw you tweet something about him today. He's going to start on Saturday. That he's not more than a fifth starter ever. He's never going to be more than a fifth starter.
Right.
But he's still a fifth starter, and that's pretty good. You know, when you're talking about
the major league team somehow, yes.
Yeah, and so when you're talking about
picks, any draft pick you take, if they make it to the majors and contribute anything, that's a win. I mean, yeah, you want like Francisco Lindor, or you want Brantley Zimmers, or you want, you know, those kind of guys. But, you know, if you take anybody in the draft, if they add anything to your major league team at any point, it's a win. It should be a win. That's it's so hard to get to that. It's so hard to project that far out because not everybody is a Steven Strasburg or a Bryce Harper. I mean, even Mike Trout wasn't a sure thing.
Well, no, no one knew Trout was going to be before the draft. That's why, you know, Harper, everyone knew. And there were a few picks in the past few years where everybody knew, like, that top guy was in there, but Trout wasn't a first overall pick or anywhere near it. I think he was like 20th or something.
Right. So if you get anybody that you draft, make it to the majors and have some sort of impact, especially like Ryan Merritt. If Ryan Merritt does nothing the rest of his career, except for, you know, past what he did in the playoffs last year, that's enough. The Indians, that's a win for the Indians as far as the draft's concerned, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of the point, is he's there and he's ready to come up. But then you've got guys like Julian Merriweather, who is, I think, a little bit better than Merritt. And then you've got guys down further like Xiao Chang Chiang. Is that right?
Yeah. Xiang.
Xiang in Lynchburg, who's having a great season, and Matt Esparza is having a great year and just got promoted, and he's still pitching well after getting promoted.
There's this McKenzie guy that I heard is doing really well too.
Well, see, I don't even want to talk about him because we're not talking about like the top picks. We're talking about guys later in the draft and
fringe guys, right?
Aaron, yeah, I mean, so I think
Savali and Bieber still fall in there because even though they're higher picks, they're still I don't want to say their ceiling's limited, but they still kind of profile the same, where you think they're going to help you somewhere. Even if it's in the bullpen, you know, it's guys that are going to contribute to the major league team.
Looking at the Lake County captains right now, I'm seeing Brady Aiken, Sam Hentges, and Juan Hillman all have at least a potential of a major league future.
Yes.
five starters. That's pretty good. I mean, and then Lynchburg, I'd say all five have a potential of at least making it to the majors. I'm not saying they're all going to be great. I think there's one ace in the entire Indian system right now, and that's Tristan McKenzie.
Right.
I wouldn't say there's another ace in the entire Indian system. I'm not being a homer and saying that the Indians have the greatest pitchers ever. I'm just saying that they have a lot of guys who could potentially at some point make it to the major leagues.
And you're not even including, we're talking about starters, but obviously you throw in guys like Dalbert Siri, Ryder Ryan, a couple of the relievers that are having really good years that, you know, we've talked about, Brent Crowth, even though I think he's hurt right now. I mean, those are other guys that are going to be probably future major leaguers.
Yeah, and so essentially
– if they have all those guys as relievers, because there's always been talk about, well, will Savali be a starter? Will Beaver be a starter? Will they be relievers? If you have guys like Siri and Ryder Ryan and other guys like that pan out, you don't have to move Savali and Beaver in the bullpen until it's absolutely necessary. It gives you the chance to wear out all their options as a starter in the future.
Yeah, and obviously you don't even know then at this point. I mean, like, Zach McAllister was a starter for years in the rotation before they moved him into the bullpen in the major leagues.
And they had no choice at that point.
And Carlos Carrasco was in the bullpen before they moved him back to the rotation. So obviously there's moves to be made after they get to the majors. What I'm saying is essentially the Indians' starting pitching depth is so much better than any other positional depth that they have on the team. And we've been doing these top 10 lists all year. Anyone should go look at our Burning River Baseball top 10 minor league lists. We're going to keep doing them throughout the year. We do them position by position. And every time people complain, especially Justin, over and over again, how can you rank 10 guys when there aren't – like, there are more than 10 players. Every position has more than 10 players. Like, there'll be 11 players at first base or catcher or something like that. And you'll give me shit and say, I don't want to rank – who is it? Miguel Eladio at second base or something right. like that. And I say, that's the point. You have to rank those guys to show how bad the Indians system is at second base. It's terrible. There's the Indians have two potential major leaguers at second base. That's it. Unless they start moving guys around. You know, unless they start moving shortstops to second. They've got two guys. And they're both at the same level.
And first base isn't great either, yeah.
First base is completely different. But that's – and catcher is terrible. You know, so we – by putting them in a top 10 list – we can really look and see these are weak. So when the Indians go six rounds, essentially six rounds, because they had a CBB pick after the second round, so they still had – they didn't have a first-round pick, but they had two second-round picks.
Here's the question for you, since we're talking about catchers and the draft. If we read it, I don't know anything about Michael Rivera, the guy they took in the
– this is the second time he's been drafted. There were a couple guys that had been drafted second. One of them, the last time they had been drafted, was a 40th round pick, which I thought was pretty cool.
But like, how bad is the catching situation in the minors that if they sign Rivera, who played in just, I don't know how many games he played in this year. I think he was hurt this year, so he didn't play a whole lot.
Yeah, he broke his hamate bone, of all things.
Oh, wonderful. But I mean, he pretty much goes right behind – obviously, Mejia and Logan Ice is number two, and then what is he, number four, three? Well, right now, if they sign him.
Of course, the scouting report on him is that he can't hit at all. And I looked up his college stats, and he can't hit at all.
That's encouraging.
So he's a defense-only guy, so he's going to be another one of these Roberto Perez, Yan Gomes types, which Simeon Lucas is a good catcher. Like, if you're just talking about physically catching the ball and calling a game and throwing out base runners and, you know, and like running a game from behind the plate, Simeon Lucas is a good catcher. So I don't even know that I put sight unseen Mike Rivera above him.
Just reading his profile, obviously he's a top 10 catcher. If they sign him no matter what in the organization, he wouldn't be unranked.
Yes.
He'd probably be top five though. I mean, if he's really that good defensively. Again, that's how bad their situation is behind. I mean, Mejia, obviously, they said a lot better.
I like Legion. I like Lee Gen 2 better than you do.
No, I'm with you on Lee Gen 2. I don't know about the glove, but the iron and the bat are great. Anyway, we're off topic, yeah, again.
Well, I think that's it. So you've got Jonathan Rodriguez, who, again, like, I had never heard of. He came out of Puerto Rico, out of Carlos Beltran Baseball Academy, which is kind of funny because Beltran is still a player, that he already has an academy. And I like Eli Morgan. I watched Kirk McCarty's video on MLB.com, and the guy freaks me out.
Really?
Like, I don't know why you get a pitch like that. It's just weird looking.
I'm not seeing anything on him. I'm just start now looking at Eli Morgan.
He throws three quarters lefty, but it's a really herky jerky thing, and it's kind of funky. But he's got good numbers in college, and there wasn't a guy I would say that's necessarily a bad pick out of all of them after looking at him. I definitely think the Indians have a strategy of early rounds. You pick guys who are really high ceiling, low floor. And then later you pick the high floor guys. Because even, well, Tyler Freeman, they said they may max out as a utility man. But the last guy they picked today, Jesse Berardi in the 10th round, is a shortstop. And they said straight up, he's a utility man. Like, there's no way he's ever going to be anything but a utility man. But you need utility men.
An organizational filler, a guy you know you can potentially have on your roster in the future as somebody who can catch the ball.
And if he can be a utility man, if you can get a major league utility man with the 10th round pick, that's pretty good. And I think that's what I want to take into our more historical perspective.
Oh, that's going to be a rough trip. What do you want to because start?
Because I have every draft ever on my list. I keep a running tab of these things. And I like one of the things I do on my running tab of every draft pick ever by the Indians is I note the top pick in every draft. And so from two...
Mathieu or Lindor?
What?
Who was number one? I forgot who you put number one.
Or was it the top pick from each draft? So top pick from 2004 was Tony Sipp.
Which was like, what, the 40th round or something?
Yeah, it was really late. But I noticed today that the top pick from 2004, 5, 6, 7... Yeah, 4, 5, 6, and 7 were all relief pitchers. You don't want your top pick in the draft to be a relief pitcher. That's generally a mistake.
Well, not in all cases.
The top pick in 2007 was Josh Jeudy.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Not a bad reliever. Josh Jeudy's a bad reliever. That's the top pick. But if it's a good reliever.
The 34th round.
What year was Cody Allen signed to? Well, Cody Allen came in.
2011, yes.
Yeah, he came in Lindor's year, so he's not going to be.
And actually, I just edited that one because Alan what had been written as the top pick from that year, and I just changed it to Lindor because I hadn't checked this in a while. Essentially, though, the Indians changed their strategy in 2008-ish, and that's when they got Chisenhall. But still, the 2008 draft pretty much sucked.
It did.
I'll list all the major leaguers from 2008 right now. Cord Phelps, he was the third round. Zach Putnam was 5th round. That was actually a good pick, and they gave up on him too quick.
Roberto Perez, yeah, TJ House.
Yeah, Matt Langwell was 11th. TJ House was 16. And Adam Warren was 29. It was a bad draft.
Yeah, and that's Chisenhall being as good as he is. And there was a point in time, too, where people considered Cord Phelps a better prospect than Lonnie Chisenhall, and how well-liked Trey Haley was, too. And at one point,
I liked Haley, and I thought
Tim Fedorov was also on the 40-man roster for a while. Let's not forget that. That's pretty awful.
I liked Fedorov. He was essentially Naquin, extremely light. I liked Eric Berger, who is an 8th-round pick. Adam Abraham was Jesus Aguilar before Jesus Aguilar. Now Nelly Rodriguez is Jesus Aguilar. But Adam Abraham was that first. The guy who just crushed home runs He also Carlos Moncrief in that draft too.
Yeah, Moncrief was a little confused. They never gave him a shot. Bryce Stoll was another good one from that year. I thought was going to be a future top reliever because he was throwing 100 in Double A and had a nasty slider. Couldn't stay healthy.
Right. So the next year they got Alex White over one, and I think that's a win. You trade Alex White for Ubaldo Jimenez, and Jimenez has a few good years. So I said that's a win with your one pick. It doesn't matter what
baseball
White.
You win because you win the trade and he didn't make it anywhere else, but you're able to use him for something.
I'm talking about the draft pick being a win because he was traded for something. As a player, obviously, he's not. But you won the draft pick. Just like Clint Frazier is a great draft pick already. It doesn't matter that he's not even hit the majors yet because you got Andrew Miller for him. So if you can, if you pick a guy and move him, as long as the guy you move him for is good, you know, it's a success. Kipnis was the two in that year. And then it's ugly again. And I think there's a point here.
Do you include Joe Gardner in this? Because Joe Gardner was a piece of the Ubaldo Jimenez trade as well.
No, I didn't. I guess, yeah, sure, you can.
Joe Colon's looking still in there. Preston Gilmeta, how they gave up on too early. Austin Adams was a disaster.
They definitely gave up too early on Preston Gilmeta. I liked him. He ended up going to Baltimore. And Vidal Nuño.
They gave up way too early on him, which I don't understand that.
Yeah, he ended up being decent for Arizona and New York. And Birch Smith, who they picked he didn't sign.
He had one good year in the San Diego bullpen.
49th, he didn't sign. It seems like, okay, they get the 2010 draft, three guys from the
entire 20. I think you want to point out before moving on to that 2007 was the first year Brad Grant was in charge of the draft. 2006, he started, but who was in charge of the draft before that was it wasn't Brad Grant. Brad Grant took over in 07, and I forget who was before that. It was not – he's still in the organization, and they just moved him around away from that.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. 2007, I remember extremely well. And I remember, we changed. We know we've had bad drafts for 30 years, whatever, since 1988. We know we've had terrible drafts, except Manny Ramirez was in the early 90s, and then CC Sabathia, they got lucky once.
What about
But they said we had terrible. Well, that's what I'm saying. That was late 80s. Early 90s. By 88, they had already got. Yeah, late 80s, they'd already got pretty much all those guys.
John Mirabelli was his name.
They'd made this big deal about changing, and they're like, okay, this is our new thing. We got Bo Mills. He's going to be our superstar forever. And I remember him so well. That was the first draft. I remember watching the draft live and being like, okay, Bo Mills is a superstar of the future. We got him. Like, he's going to be the next Jim Thome.
He had a good minor league career.
It was so. But he never – he could have made the majors a couple points. It's kind of like Jesus Aguilar, where Jesus Aguilar could have been brought up many more times than he actually was, and they never – they didn't bother because they knew he wasn't going to make it, and they knew Mills was never going to make it. That draft, the only major leaguers on that entire draft were T.J. McFarland, Matt Haig, and Josh Jeudy.
Only two Indians. The other ones made it elsewhere, yeah.
And it's just so bad. But then even going to 2010, Tony Walters made it to the majors, but he didn't make it as an Indian or a shortstop.
Too early on him, too.
But that's four Indians, four players out of the entire 2010 draft made the majors.
Tyler Holt. They also took Andrew Triggs.
And one of them, Andrew Triggs didn't sign. Cody Allen didn't sign. Cody Allen doesn't really count because he didn't sign. So Tyler Holt, Drew Pomeranz, and Tony Walters. That's it.
They spent $1 million that year on Alex Levisky, who was a St. Ed's product. They spent $1 million. That was before the they had hard slots for every pick. Mm-hmm. You know, back then you could spend whatever on whatever pick you wanted, and you just paid the penalty later. They spent $1 million on Alex Levisky, who was an eighth-round pick, to get him out of his commitment to Georgia Tech.
And that was back before they had the 40 rounds only. Because now it's only 40 rounds, thankfully. It was 50 rounds then. They signed the last four picks. Like, you never sign picks after 40. That's why they dropped it down to 40, because the guys at the end would never sign. And they signed them. None of them made anything.
I have a Marcus Bradley story, though, if you want to hear it.
I don't even know who Marcus Bradley is. I can't say that I've ever seen him play baseball.
Marcus Bradley did make it to the captains, actually. And
okay, he was the 49th round, 1,470th pick. Mm-hmm. 1,469 players were picked before this man.
But I have a story on him, yeah. He got into a fight with another player on the captain's bus over a girl, and I won't say who the other player was. Actually, it was Cody Penny. He's out of the organization, too.
We didn't say who the girl was.
I will not say who the girl was, because I'll tell you later why I can't tell you who the girl was.
Does she write for Pretty River Baseball?
I hope not. But I'm pretty sure it was Cody Penny, who's also out of the organization. I forget what year he was drafted. But Marcus Bradley was released before the season ended because they got reportedly got into a fight on the bus over a girl. That's the rumor. I don't know if that's true. I wasn't on the bus, but that story has been circulating for about 4 years.
You know, I wrote something earlier on the 10 worst Indians first round draft picks, which of course was ripped off last week by another site, but whatever. The 10 worst Indians first round draft picks, and I made a note in that the Indians have only drafted one Hall of Famer ever, and he was traded because he got in a fight with a teammate over a girl.
Oh yeah, Dennis Eckersley. Rick Manning.
The only Hall of Famer the Indians have ever drafted was forced to be traded because Rick Manning is too much of a player.
That's not going to be applicable next year because Jim Thome will get in.
Yeah, sure he will. So will Kenny Lofton.
Wow. I think 600 homers probably gets you in.
Yeah, you'd think so, A-Rod. Oh, I'm sorry, Barry Bonds.
All right, well.
Does 300 wins get you in too, Roger?
There was no Balcom hearing for Jim Thome. There was no Balcom hearing for Jim Thome.
But enough people say he did. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that gets you in anymore. Hopefully it does. Hopefully Jim Thome can be the first guy to make it in the Hall of Fame after being drafted by the Indians as an Indians player.
Who's the last Indians Hall of Famer, by the way? Was it?
I'm going to guess Bob Lemon. Although I think Larry Doby was around a little later than Lemon.
Frank Robinson didn't go in as an Indian, right?
No.
So it's been a long time since the Indians.
It's either Doby or Lemon, because Feller retired in like 56.
I think it's going to be. I think you're right. It's going to be Doby.
I think so.
Wow.
It's bad. No, there's decades of bad. I'm glad I wasn't alive during those decades.
Yeah. Wow. So we talked about 2010, 2011.
I guess my point was 2011 was finally better. You got Lindor first. You had a couple bad rounds, but Eric Haas is decent. He was a 7th round pick. Jeff Johnson is still around. He's a 10th round pick. Cody Anderson was 14. Ryan Merritt was 16. Sean Armstrong is good. He's 18. Morimondo was 19. Cody Allen is 23. Those are all decent picks, especially for what you got out of them, I think. There's a much larger consistency of getting players to the higher minor league levels and having them still produce. Like, even Will Roberts was a 5th round pick, and he never made it to the majors, and he retired this year. But he –
Bryson Miles made the play to give too early on him.
Yeah, at least these guys were in AAA for a couple of years before they, you know, left. And even Jordan Smith is a terrible outfielder. Apparently he was drafted as a third baseman, according to my notes.
Yeah.
But
sure.
But he, you know, at least he made it to AAA. And he's still, I think he's in AA now, actually.
He is back in AA.
But he's still with the organization. He's never going to make it. Michael Roth was drafted that year.
Todd Hankins is still around. He might make it at some point just because he plays every position.
Yeah, so the 2011 draft was better. I'm going to say they keep getting better after that for the most part. 2012 maybe was a step back.
But, yeah.
They did.
It hurts.
They picked Kalika.
He's not going to be a starter now.
Yeah, they picked Kalika, but he didn't sign. Lewis Head is a pretty good reliever. Nelly Rodriguez.
They spent a lot of money on Devon McClure to get him out of going to Arkansas, which he is there now playing football. That didn't work out because he was – you want to go back to the profile we talked about at the beginning of the show about fast outfielders. McClure was kind of their first – I don't want to say foray into that, but because they did it with LeVon Washington a couple years earlier, that didn't work out either. They spent
I saw McClure for years, and he was never fast.
Well, I mean, but he was a
he was a big guy.
He was a toolsy outfielder. Everyone thought he, you know, he's got he's going to run, he's going to hit, he's going to play good defense. He was the guy who had a high projection. They spent a lot of money on that, didn't work out. And then Mitch Brown's a reliever now. So that kind of takes him back a notch, I guess, as far as what they spent on him. Yeah, I think Josh Gannon is out of baseball, or he's in independent league.
Looking at 2013, that was probably better than 2013. So far, the only major leaguer is Kyle Crockett and Adam Plutko.
I have more hope for 2013 than I do 2012. 2012, I think, was a lost cause.
And I guess you got Thomas Pannone in there, who's pitching well this year, but isn't.
We said Clint Frazier was a win.
Yeah, Clint Frazier was a win because he's Adam Miller.
You have to include Ben Heller in there as well because he was part of that deal for Andrew Miller.
Yeah,
Adam Plutko already made it. He still could wind up being something. And Sean Brady is still around.
Yeah, you got a few decent guys in there, I guess. Again,
that was 2012.
And this is what always the most recent one always seems the best. Like the closer you get to today, the better the draft seems. Obviously, Bradley Zimmer's great. Justice Sheffield got you Miller, but he's also a really great pitcher. This is from 2014. Mike Pappy still seems like he could be a guy. Grant Hawken, I've seen pitch a few times this year. He's coming back. I mean, for 2014 pick, he's pretty low level, but he's coming up. Bobby Bradley was a third-round pick. Sam Hentges strikes out everybody and walks everybody he doesn't strike out. Julian Merriweather. I would say everybody in the top eight of the 2014 draft still has major league potential. At least somewhat. So at least that's a positive, right?
Yeah, you mentioned Greg Allen. He's still around there. JP Fireisen in there, too, was part of the...
Yeah, there's guys other down further, too.
RJ Angulo was just named Carolina League All-Star.
Yeah, and a couple of these guys have been cut. David Armendariz, Bobby Eisen, Nate Winfrey was traded for Brandon Guyer.
No, that's the wrong player.
That's the wrong guy? I always get those two guys confused.
Nathan Lucas.
Okay, Nathan so Winfrey Lucas. Was cut?
Yeah, Winfrey was cut.
Okay, Winfrey was cut. Lucas was... They're all the same to me.
You got the kids, the owner's son drafted in the 33rd round that year.
Juan Gomes was cut. Ryder Ryan was drafted before he was drafted and didn't sign.
Out of high school, yeah.
But I think the point here is the top 10 guys. You know, those top 10, even with Simeon Lucas, Micah Maignard, and Alexis Pantoja at the end there, those are all really decent picks, and they still are active in the minor league system. And even if they never make the majors, except Bradley's got to make the majors, Zimmer and Sheffield have to make the majors. But the rest of them, like even if they don't, they at least put in their time and they got close. That's what you want from a draft class. You want the top 10 picks to be close, and then hopefully you hit with something later on.
Here's a good – we'll debate this. Who's going to be the first player – from the 2015 draft to make it for the Indians?
Tristan McKenzie.
You're sure?
Yes, I guarantee it.
Okay.
Tristan McKenzie. The thing is with McKenzie, and we could do an entire show on McKenzie, and we're already like pushing
it here. At some point.
I've seen McKenzie when they drafted him, he came to AZL, and I watched him in AZL, and then I went to Instructs, which are from like October, November-ish. They run the same time as the AFL, but they're free games at the development complex instead of being at like Major League Stadiums. Major League Spring Training Stadiums, they're at the development complex instead. So I saw him there. Then he came back for extended spring training. And when he came back for extended spring training, this would be 2016. Mm-hmm. He struck out everybody. Like, he was incredible. He was incredible in 2015. But in 2016, he just struck out everybody. Like, it wasn't even close. It wasn't fair to anybody. The only reason he was there was because he couldn't pitch five innings in a game yet. And the only reason he couldn't pitch five innings was because they were babying him. As soon as they put him up to Lake County, he dominates Lake County. And then he bumps up to Advanced A. I wrote a tweet earlier this year when he had a great game in Lynchburg. I think, what did he strike out, like?
14.
15 or something like that. 14. A year ago on this date, he did this in extended spring training. So in 1 year, he skipped essentially AZL, short season, single A, and 1 year went straight up to Lynchburg. And he's killing everybody. It doesn't make sense for him to even be there.
And he should be number one. I think after the All-Star game, he will. The All-Star game is next week. I think after that, he'll be a number one.
I've always said you should never dominate in the minor leagues. If you're dominating in the minor leagues, you're at the wrong level. You need to be up. And I don't mean like one game. If a guy has one great game, it's one thing. But if you have eight great games in a row as a starting pitcher, or you have half a season as a position player, and you're just killing everyone like Francisco Mejia is right now in AA.
Hitting 600 for a week, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense for you to be there because the goal is to be a major leaguer. And if McKenzie is as good as he is right now, and I've seen him, and you can pitch to nobody in a batter's box, if you're pitching with nobody in a batter's box and you've got a slider that breaks all the way across the plate and you've got pinpoint command with your fastball, that's going to translate to the majors. Like, and I think, honestly, that Tristan McKenzie is at the peak of his career right now. I think he's there. I think this is as talented as he'll ever be. He may get smarter, but he's as talented as he's ever going to be right now.
If they use him in a trade this year, I'm probably legit going to cry for the first time since, I don't know. And I did a little after the World Series, but.
That would be silly. They can't trade him. You don't trade the future. You can trade, well, both, I guess. But you snowflakes. I don't use that term.
We've gone too far.
That's a joke. I don't use that term. Nathan Lux was drafted in 2015.
Yeah.
We mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, yeah. So I think that was a great draft, that in all that 2015 draft. You got Aiken, one, which I think they probably had to take him first or else they weren't going to get him. But to get McKenzie and then to get Hillman. And like we said earlier, how the Indians' second baseman situation is terrible – they got both Mathias and Krieger in back-to-back rounds in 2015.
After taking three high school kids, too. That's the same format. They took three high school kids, and they took three college bats right after.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's a point to that. You can't get those high school guys late in the draft. If there's a great high school player, you have to get them in the first couple of rounds. You're not going to get a chance to get them later on, so you have to get them early. But later on,
they're not going to sign.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is a lot of the guys the Indians drafted today, particularly, are juniors. There was one senior, and the rest of them are juniors. The chances are they're all going to sign.
The top 10, at least, yeah.
Yeah, they're top 10 picks, and they're juniors or seniors in college. What are the chances of them being top 10 picks again? What are the chances of them not getting hurt next year? You have to take all that risk in, and you're probably going to sign being a top 10 pick. I would think so. But if you pick a high school player in the 10th round, he's probably saying, well, I got tons of chances left. I'm going to go back. If I'm a top 10 pick at a high school, I'm going to be a top 5 pick.
Especially when you're committed to a top program. Like Quentin Holmes, I forget where he was committed to, but he and Tyler Freeman both had.
Mississippi State?
Yeah, I mean, they're both committed to
TCU.
Those guys are all, you know, big time program commits too. So if you don't get them early, you're not going to buy them out of their commitment.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. So you got to get the biggest players early. And then the rest of the draft should be guys that you're pretty sure you know what you're getting, even if their ceiling is utility man, or is AAA utility man. If their ceiling is major league utility man and their floor is AA utility man, you got to be pretty happy with that. You know, maybe
the majors are close to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying drafting that in the 10th round, because like I said, go back and see who they drafted in the 10th round in previous. Steven Patterson in 2014. That's a nothing. Ross Kvet. He didn't sign. But he's still nothing.
He's still really well for Detroit, is sadly.
He? Okay, there you go.
Yeah, he's in their organization. He's pretty good.
Josh Martin, he's doing okay. He's a reliever. Jeff Johnson is a reliever. Tyler Holt. Yeah, we all know about him.
But he made it. He did something.
Yeah. Brett Brock.
His brother was better than
him. I mean, this is randomly taking the 10th pick out of every draft. Donnie Webb in 2008. Heath Taylor in 2007. If you don't know these names, there's a reason. Paolo Espino, I do know that name. He didn't. He did sign. Yeah, he did.
He made his major league debut.
He did make it. He just made it with Milwaukee.
Yeah. He was another guy. I don't know why. I mean, he was a minor league free agent, but I mean, he was like the right-handed Vidal Nuno.
Oh, we didn't go back far enough because the best pick the Indians have had in years was the fifth rounder in 2006, Chris Archer.
Oh, yeah. that literally has been their best pick since then, huh? Until Lindor.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I guess that's the whole point of this whole show is that you want those positive guys. And look at last year, they picked two high schoolers to start, and they picked three college guys before they went back to the high school picks. And Benson does have a lot of upside. Nolan Jones has a lot of upside. But I bet you Savali and Bieber make it to the majors first.
I bet you Savali does, yeah. If they don't use him in a trade. I mean, even if they do.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I see a lot of positive names from last year's draft.
Zach Plesac just made it back from Tommy John.
Yeah,
Ben Crouth. I know you like Ben Crouth. He's in there.
I love Ben Crouth.
And you like Michael Lutkiewicz, even though I think he's on the DL now, which is not good.
Well, I've never seen Lutkiewicz pitch.
No, Ryder Ryan. I like Ryder Ryan a lot.
Kalika's great.
Connor Capel's doing well right now.
Yeah, Capel's doing well. Collins looks all right. There's a lot of guys. Skylar Arias is a lefty from late in the draft who look pretty good. Tanner Tully is a lefty.
Logan Ice should be a major leaguer just for defense alone at some point behind the plate.
Yeah, so we're talking about guys up and down the draft. It looks good. But again, the most recent draft always looks the best.
Because they haven't had time to flame out yet.
Yeah, so we can talk about these guys, and then three of them will be cut after AZL. Not necessarily three of the top 10 picks, but, you know, three of the 40 that they get through tomorrow.
Yeah, Jose Nelson or Samad Taylor could be on the fringe. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, so what are you talking about? Those are both great players.
Okay.
They're not getting cut. Don't talk trash on Samad Taylor. I love Samad Taylor.
All right, Trenton Brooks, even though he's wondering.
Yeah, I don't care about Trenton Brooks. Samad Taylor's fun. Just reminded me of something I can't say on the show.
Oh, good.
That aired this week. No, I think, it's positive. And I think of the guys the Indians pick in the last 30 rounds of the draft, you're going to see a lot of guys flame out quick probably. It's not that big of a deal. These top 10 are the ones you really want to watch, and that's really what they're going for and really hoping that they'll make it in. And even though that they did – because they spend – I think it's based on salary, right, the CBB pick?
Yeah. Yes. Sure.
Sounds right. So that's why they got Tyler Freeman. And the funny thing is Freeman doesn't have the upside of Jonathan Rodriguez or some of the pitchers they took later on.
But a better floor, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I am looking forward to the fact that they picked three high schoolers. They're all Rodriguez is 17, and he won't turn 18 until November.
That's the other thing. Like, if you want to look at the Indians' MO on drafting, is Quinton Holmes is the same way. They took guys that are really young.
Well, Holmes will be. Yeah, Holmes will be 18 next month. Freeman just turned 18.
And that makes them one of the youngest guys in the draft class. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to seeing them in AZL. Assuming they'll sign, and the Indians do not sign guys, or do not draft guys that they can't sign. That's history. I looked up the last time they missed a player was, I think it was Dan Denham.
Ross Cavett was, what round was he taking and they didn't get him? He was up there high.
The last first round pick I think they didn't get was Dan Denham.
Oh, first round?
The last second-round pick they didn't get was 1984.
Wow.
So they get those first couple guys, and you know they're going to sign them. They would not draft them if they couldn't sign them. So yeah, beyond that,
they didn't get even in 15 was the 11th round. I mean, geez, yeah, they.
Oh no, this says Dan Denham did sign, so I don't know. Maybe he did, but I think that was I think he didn't, or maybe Alan Horn didn't sign in 2001.
15th round last year was the lowest they went without signing a player.
Okay, that was it. Alan Horn was a first round pick in 2001.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
And he did not sign.
And he never made it either.
Well, no, that was a bad draft. Luke Scott was the best pick out of that draft. Obviously, he never made it with the Indians.
Oh, that was.
Well, he was decent with Houston and Tampa.
He was kind of an idiot too, but yeah.
Anyway, that's beyond the point. The last first-round pick the Indians didn't sign was 2001, and they did sign the first round. You know, they signed their first pick that round. They had two – actually, they have four first-round picks in 2001. They had 17, 27, 35, and 43.
And how many of them made the majors? One?
J.D. Martin.
And not with the
Indians. That was the 35th overall pick.
All right. Well, things have been better since then.
But that was the last time they didn't sign a first round pick. So they're signing their first couple of picks. The last time they didn't sign a second round pick was 1984. They'll sign the early guys. A couple of the later guys, I'd question the junior college guys, especially like Mike Rivera coming off of an injury. I could see where he'd say, "I'm a great defensive catcher. They're getting decent money. Why don't I come back and play a full season of college and, you know, pad my stats and then get picked higher than sixth?"
And if you take personally, a JUCO player or a high school player after the 10th round, it gets pretty iffy.
Yeah, personally, if you're a junior in college and you get picked in the top 10 rounds, you should be signing that contract. I did the math a few years ago for outside corner, and you're taking a huge risk of losing a ton of money if you don't sign. So just take your 100 grand. You know, be happy if you're in the top 10 rounds. So I think all these guys that they've drafted so far will sign. It'll be interesting to see how they do the rest of the draft, if they stay with these college guys, if they try to get some high school players. They did get some high school players late last year. Samad was a 10th round pick last year. He was a high school guy. And they had a few other guys later who did sign. It's funny. Will Crow, when he got drafted
today.
When he got drafted today, I was like, I recognize that name. Where do I recognize that from? It's because the Indians drafted him twice, and they didn't sign him either time. And Justin, of course, wanted them to draft him a third time, and I said, hey, no means no.
I mean, they had a chance to get him. Jimmy was on the board for him.
Yeah, so he was – I think that was
– Who did they take that round? That was
– I think that was the first round.
He was the pick. He was the pick right after
– Quinton Holmes, wasn't it? Or was it Freeman?
No, he was a pick today, not yesterday. But he literally went a pick after they took somebody. I forget who it was. It might have been Rodriguez.
No, it wasn't Rodriguez.
Maybe it was maybe it was yesterday with
I think it was yesterday.
Maybe it was after Freeman. I mean, I just remember reading the tweet. He went right after the Indians.
He went right after the Indians' first pick, which was the second round. He went to the Nationals, pick 65 overall right after Quentin Holmes.
So they had a chance to get him.
Yeah, so they could have picked him a third time, and he would have had to sign. But I think they made the right choice. I like the fast guys. I like – man, I swear every series you some team comes into Cleveland or they go to another place and they play the Twins or they play the Blue Jays, and you're like, wow, this center fielder catches everything. Why can't we just have a center fielder that catches everything? Right, everyone else has one. And it's not even just one team. It's like team after team after team. They've all got these Tampa. You know, they've all got these great Kansas City. Now Seattle. They've all got these great center fielders who catch everything. You just because want one of
them. It's a market inefficiency.
And I think Greg Allen is probably going to be that guy for the Indians. But, it seems like a really good place to go. I mean, if you get three of those guys in your outfield, you can have a rotation of Josh Tomlins, and you're probably still going to be all right.
Boy, if you can – Bradley Zimmer in right field would be something. If you can get Allen in center and Bradley and Zimmer in right field, your defense Gabriel really – Oh, yeah, you put Zimmer in left, Allen in right, and Mejia in center, geez.
Yeah, so I think, like, that's I think, was the goal with their first-round pick this year. It wasn't last year. Will Benson is not that kind of player. He's got a little speed, but he's mostly arm and bat. We'll talk about him later once he gets a little higher, probably. But I've seen him play a lot at this point.
Too much, probably.
No, I don't. I think he's going to be back in AZL again this year, but he's an exciting player like Mark Reynolds is.
Oh, boy.
All right, I think that's enough. Got 30 more picks, got two more games for the Dodgers. Hopefully the Indians beat the Dodgers because I really want the Diamondbacks to win the West. The NL.
I picked them as a wild card team, so as long as they make it.
Yeah, really going for the Diamondbacks at this point.
Yeah.
I really want that World Series here so I can actually go to a game.
Oh, that wouldn't be bad, yeah.
That'd be great.
I'm home for the one last year, but.
Yeah, no, that ain't happening. All right, that's it for tonight. I've been Joe Koblis. You can follow me at Burning River BB. He's Justin Latta. You can follow him at JL_baseball. Of course, read everything on burningriverbaseball.com, especially our top 10 minor league reports and draft stuff coming up. Got one coming tomorrow for the, which is probably today if you're listening to this, top 10, or not top 10, the players the Indians picked from round 3 through round 10. So check us out, and we will catch you next time on Burning River Radio.